Please pray with me. Father, we come to you just humble this morning, celebrating on the Lord's Day the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, bearing the sin, not of his own, but our sin, so that we could be set free to have that reconciliation with you. Father, we pray that your Spirit just dwells among us this morning as we open our hearts to God's word. And if there's anyone sitting amongst us right now that does not have a knowing relationship with your Son, we pray that the Spirit convicts their heart. Lord, use this time to grow us, but more importantly, to glorify your Son, Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen.
The Gospels record that Jesus said seven things from the cross. The Gospel of John records three things that he said, and I want to talk to you a few moments and then focus on one particular passage, but about crucifixion. Now, we know from the timing of the Gospels that Jesus was on the cross about 6 hours. We also know that crucifixion was a form of punishment in which not only to draw out agony, but it was to deter criminal activity. You see, understand that when you hung on a cross, you had to pull yourself up to breathe because everything that's on you, gravity pulls down. And it's a suffocation. And he usually took a long time to die. For him to speak anything took a long period of time. You would also say that he put a sign in Hebrew and Greek and Latin because the languages of the day, a Koine Greek, which we have our Bible, our New Testament text in, the languages were written so that everybody may know that Rome is doing this, loosely quoted. You see, they wanted to bring attention, but oh boy, they didn't have a clue. You see, the Bible also records that they cast lots for his garment to fulfill prophecy. And as we get closer to the time that Jesus will die, he tells John, here is my mother, and he will take Jesus' mother, John will, into his house. And then he says, I thirst. Isn't that amazing? He that made the seas and he that made the oceans thirst. The humanity of Jesus Christ. But yet, because of the deity of Jesus Christ, because of his thirst, he brought water to us. But what I want to focus on this morning is the sixth thing that he said. Now, of course, we believe it's the sixth because he would say in the book of Matthew, in the Father, he commends the Spirit. But the sixth thing that Jesus said, it is finished. Tetelestai. A Greek word, we use three to say it is finished. Greek word is one. Tetelestai is a word that means the work is complete. It was a word that is used that when merchants would have a debt on a person who had bought goods, that once they had paid off their goods, they would write on the sheet of paper, tetelestai, to indicate it was paid in full. You see, what I want to talk to you about is it is finished. Now, this Easter, as we do celebrate the empty tomb of Jesus, and we see, as I shared this morning during our sunrise service, that the resurrection from the tomb, the purple that we will see around the crosses, the crown of thorns, it's just part of the gospel. You see, for Jesus to say it is finished, we must understand what that means. And I cannot think of a greater day than to share the person and work of Christ than on resurrection morning. Amen? It is finished. What was finished? You see, we have to go all the way back to the garden at the fall of Adam and Eve. You see, as Adam and Eve sinned and took of that which they should not have taken of, they sinned and they were shameful. and they made coverings for themselves, but their coverings were not enough. God had to make coverings for them. You first sacrifice, because they had sinned against a holy, righteous God. And during that time, we see that the only way that sin could be atoned for is by blood. We'll see that the sacrificial system that was instituted, that God would allow the people who were in sin to take their sacrifice before the priest, who would lay his hands on, therefore transferring guilt, and the animal's blood would cover the sin. Remember, we've been going through Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews was convincing the Jews in this sacrificial system that Christ is superior to all, and that the animals they laid upon as God instituted the sacrificial system, it did not remove the sin, it covered it. And we had talked about the law that God had given, that the law could not remove the dirt, it just revealed it. See, the law's like a mirror. It's not what you do that makes you what you are. It's what you are that makes you do what you do. And the law was a mirror. And men can't measure up. But God said in the Old Testament, I will write the covenant on men's hearts. That every prophet in every book of the Old Testament would point to a lamb that is coming that would be good once and for all. And the sacrifice would be enough. So what does it is finished mean? It means that Jesus Christ completed the work that God called him to do on the cross. That's what it means. The Bible tells us very quickly that was Jesus' plan. People think that Jesus came here to establish a kingdom. And when he did, his kingdom wasn't established, that God failed. Let me tell you this, God never fails. Jesus came here to die. John would say, behold the Lamb that takes on the sins of the world. John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish, to tetelestai, to accomplish his work. John 17:4, I glorified you on earth having accomplished the work in which you have given me to do. How did he accomplish that work? Complete fulfillment of the law. That which we are not perfect, Christ is perfect. He was sinless. He is holy. He is blameless. That you cannot do, Christ done. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the promises and the prophecies. He fulfilled it by being obedient to what God had called him to do. He done his work that God had sent him to do. He came here to die. And he came to suffer and sacrifice. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Every one of us are going to die. It's a mathematical fact. I guarantee you that every one of us will die. And then there's the judgment. But let me tell you something. Christ died so we don't have to die eternally. Amen. The finished work of God's redemptive plan. Behold the Lamb. That's what it means, but it is finished. And because it is finished, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We've been removed from the guilt of sin. Do you hear me? Martin Luther, before he broke from Catholicism, he struggled and continued to struggle with sin even afterwards. And he couldn't even sleep because he felt guilty for sleeping. And he'd keep going to his priest several times a day. And he'd say, you need to forgive me. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And he kept asking forgiveness and kept asking forgiveness and kept asking forgiveness. And the priest told him, either you need to commit something else or quit seeing me. Because let me tell you something. Two things you take out of this. Number one, once Christ has paid the price, the guilt of sin is removed. Number two, I don't have to go to a man to confess my sin. I can go to Jesus Christ who will remove it. He has removed us from the guilt of sin. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you right now, the finished work on the cross has removed you from your sins past. I don't care what you have done. I don't care where you have been. If you cry out for mercy, God will give it to you through the person of Christ. We have been saved to the uttermost. One of the things that Satan loves to do is use your past. He will bring it up. He will crush you with it. He will smack you with it. He will depress you with it. But let me tell you something. That was done on the cross, my brothers and sisters. He removes from the guilt of sin. Listen to what the Bible says. But Jesus, this is, y'all gonna see me jump in a minute there. Romans 3:22. But it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Your sin, you cannot remove. Your sin, Jesus Christ can remove. And because your sin has been removed by Christ, you are justified. Let me tell you what that means, brothers and sisters. Not guilty. Not guilty. Say, Chad, you are a loud, excited guy. I'm going to tell you something. I know me. And there's nothing I could do to save myself. I tried a lot of things. I believe everybody in here, just like me, was born with a God-sized hole that only He can fill. And I tried to fill it with a lot of things. And I can tell you this. There was never no. Yeah, I did it double negative. There was never no any fulfillment in anything that I did. There was never satisfaction. There was never peace. Because I couldn't finish the work. But when I come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ who paid the price on Calvary, I knew the work had been finished. And because the work had been finished and I put my faith and trust in Him, I'm not guilty anymore. John Flavel said this, but Jesus Christ has finished all His work. Though we can finish none of ours. And so even though we are defective, listen, we are poor, we're imperfect creatures in ourselves, yet we are complete in Christ. His complete obedience being imputed to us makes us complete without fault before God. Amen. You see, the only defense we have, my brothers and sisters, is this. As we stand in what? Why should we enter into the kingdom of heaven? Because that man who paid on the cross said I could be here for placing my faith and trust in Him. I have no argument amongst myself. I have nothing to go to the cross with. Only thing I can go to the cross with, the only thing I've contributed to my salvation is my sin. And only Christ can forgive me. But once He has forgiven me, let me tell you something, it is over, done. You hear me? Amen. End of story. Also, let me tell you what happens because it is finished. There is victory for those that are in Christ. There is victory. I want you to understand that many people think that Jesus Christ was in defeat when He yelled, "It is finished." Let me tell you something. That was not a sound of defeat. That was a sound of victory. You know why? Because the Bible says that He laid down His life. He gave up His life. Nobody took it from Him. He gave it up Himself for you. That's victory. 1 John 5:4, for whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Victory. Colossians 2:13-15. Listen. And when you were dead in your wrongdoings and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us of all our wrongdoings, having canceled the certificate of debt. Remember that? Having canceled the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. You see what he's saying? I don't care what this world thinks that it can do, Christ is greater. He is the victor. And victory is found in him. I want to tell you something about what victory does. You see, there's a story that a man named Alistair Brown tells about walking through a park, and he sees this massive oak tree where a vine is beginning to choke it. As that vine begins to choke it, that vine creeps up more and more over to the trunk, then up into the limbs, and up into the leaves. And the tree's in danger. But the gardeners see this happening, and they go to this vine, and they sever the biggest trunk on the vine. They sever it. Now, the vine still has a hold on the tree, but what becomes apparent is the vine begins to die. And the choke begins to lose its power. It is easy how sin begins so small and seemingly insignificant to grow until it strangles the grip of our lives. And yet Christ's death has cut the power of sin. Yes, the creepers of sin still cling and have some effect, but sin's power is severed by Christ. And gradually, sin's grip dries up. That's victory, people. Jesus severed that. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you be encouraged today that there's victory in Jesus Christ. Your lust, your sin, your addiction, your pain, your worry, you won't fix it. It's not going to happen. You do not have the power to resurrect the dead. Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men live. And those that are dead in their trespasses, there is victory in Jesus. Surrender to him. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you ask him for mercy, he gives you mercy. Not only has he given us victory over sin, death, and hell, Christ gives us sustenance. You hear me say that many times. Listen, Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Do you hear me? He is before all things, and all things hold, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on this earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Christ is still in control. I cannot help but want to dwell here for just a few moments. It seems that where we live politically, physically, financially, we're falling apart. And so many times we get burned down about what's going on around us. I have said this many times, and I pray that you hear me clearly. Your 401k will not save you. Your Social Security will not save you if we live long enough to even get it. Your job will not save you, nor can your parents, your brother, your sister, your friends. When has Christ never been enough. Christ is enough. I want to ask you this question. If you have victory in Jesus, if you lost everything you had today, would you still say, glory to God? I find a quiet moment. I want you to hear me when we talk about sustenance. Paul says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked an opportunity to act. Now that I speak from need, not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Read the life of Paul. Brothers and sisters, too much we rely on the world to suffice our needs when we should be hanging on to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. You say, Chad, I have a good job only because God allows you to have it. You see, I've learned something in life, and I'm still learning. One thing that I know, no matter how much I think I accomplish, I only accomplish those things by God's grace. We will come in many churches today and celebrate the work of Christ. But let me assure you something, people. It don't stop on Easter Sunday. We glorify Jesus Christ, for He is worthy every day. And let me show you, it doesn't matter who's in control, what we think is in control of this earth. God is in control. Have you ever thought maybe, just maybe, God's teaching us total dependence on Him? Do you believe that today? You see, it often amazes me that if we look at the early church, no one had need. They suffered. They praised God. They lost. We read that in Hebrews, remember, in Hebrews chapter 10. That not only did they lose things, they rejoiced in losing them. Paul and the disciples would get beat to death just about, and they would go out praising Jesus. We have heard martyrs and people who have been sick praising God. As I shared the illustration of the leper village, that one woman raised her hand. What was left of it was a nub, where it had been removed from the rot of leprosy, and wanted them to sing, Count Thy Many Blessings. Because what they understand, what we are to understand, that Christ is enough. The work and person of Christ on the cross, He has changed us. He has given us a new nature. And we are sojourners on this earth. This is not our home. Yes, boy, it's messed up. And yet we try to make heaven here. Let me tell you something. My greatest day here cannot even come close to comparing a millionth to my first day in the presence of Jesus. His sustenance is enough. Are we willing to be content in Christ? You see, Jesus Christ, and you hear me say this a lot, and I'll continue to say it because I want people to hear it. He never promised us, any of us at all, that we would have wealth. He never promised anybody, any of us, that we would have health. He did not promise these things. And that manipulation of the gospel is so popular today. It is so popular, it's sickening. Because what that does is take Christ and put him over here. It says, not what he did for us, or what we, or, you know, what he did for us, but what is he going to do for us? Not that he died for us, that's not enough. What is he going to give me? Not what I can do for him in a new life in Christ, but what is he going to do for me? And it's so popular. Because let me tell you something. That kind of mentality in Christ is a dangerous, dangerous mentality. Because it reminds me of the seeds it's cast upon the dirt. You see, remember, there was only one good soul out of the seeds that were cast. Those that took root. They weren't choked up by the worries. They wasn't immediately abandoning Christ when things didn't go their way. But those who take root to know that whether the day brings us happiness in our eyes or brings us sadness, Christ is enough. Whether today brings us poverty or riches, Christ is enough. Whether you get cancer today, strep throat tomorrow, Christ is enough. You have never been guaranteed tomorrow. You have never been guaranteed wealth. You've never been guaranteed health. When people say these things, flee and share them the gospel. That's not true, people. You are not guaranteed these things. But what you are guaranteed is Christ is enough. We're getting quiet in here. Hold on a minute. Look, I don't solicit people's excitement. That's not up to me. I don't solicit amens, and, you know, I'm not here for people. But I'll tell you this. If we can get excited in a Sweet 16 basketball game, we can get excited about Christ on the cross. Amen. Let me tell you something. I know without a shadow of a doubt, my last day on this earth, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. I don't know how I'm going to die or when I'm going to die. I don't know what of, but I know that he has me. And that's enough. Brothers and sisters, Christ's sustenance is enough. And let me tell you something. I want to be clear with this. It may cost you your life. As many of you know, I'm a history fanatic. In 320 AD, you'll hear about the 40 martyrs of Sebaste. Now, many of you may not be familiar with them, but let me tell you about the martyrs of Sebaste. See, they were a member of the Imperial Roman Army who were Christians. And the Emperor Licinius had decreed that all soldiers sacrifice and pray to the pagan gods. These men refused to and said, you can have our armor, you can have our bodies, but our hearts belong to Jesus Christ. So the officer stripped them of their clothes and put them out in the middle of a frozen lake, 40 men, unless they give praise to Licinius and the pagan gods. They huddled together and they sang. And one by one, the cold took their toll on the bodies, and they died till there was one man left. This one man, the only survivor, lost his nerve, and he walked to the shore. But what people didn't see is the officer that was watching this the whole time felt convicted. And when that one lost his nerve, that officer walked out there and stripped his clothes off and took his place. And that next morning, there were 40 bodies found. Christ is enough. It speaks to show us that not only do we believe that Christ is our sustenance, do we show the world that Christ is our sustenance? Do we practice what we preach? Do we believe that Jesus Christ paid the debt for our sin, the debt that we could not owe? Do we believe that with all our heart? We believe that the same God who sent him to die for our sins raised him from the dead. Do we believe that the same power, the God that had that raised him from the dead is alive in all those who believe? Do we believe that? Do others see that we believe that? Not only do people need to see that Christ is our sustenance, they need to see that we live as though Christ is our sustenance. They need to see how we reflect him in all that we do. The one testimony of men who were willing to die for Christ touched another man. Guys, do you understand that most people in the Bible died bad? Christ is enough. Brothers and sisters, I believe he is. And I want to close with this point. The work on the cross is finished. But brothers and sisters, if we're born again believers in Jesus Christ, our mission has just started. Had the opportunity to take my son to the doctor Friday. And a lovely person in this church had made me a couple of shirts. And it's the saying that I always say, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And as I was sitting there was two ladies sitting in front of us. One said, I like your shirt. I said, well, I appreciate that. What's it about? Well, you see, there's these two Moravian missionaries who had heard about an island in the ocean that a slave owner had, and he was an atheist. And this atheist slave owner that had this island would not allow the gospel to be spoken there. And he said if anybody shipwrecked on this island, he would make them stay by themselves because he was tired of that hearing that Christian stuff. Well, these Moravian missionaries had heard this. And it destroyed them to know that there were some people in the world that might not have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they sold themselves into slavery. Not indentured service. They sold themselves into a lifetime of slavery, knowing they would not come back. As they was in the port of Hamburg, they got on the ship, and all the church and the family and friends had gathered around them. Could not even think and just grasp it all. We're sitting there in confusion. Know that they would never see him again. And all of a sudden, one yelled out, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And that became the call for Moravian missions. That's our very purpose, that the lamb that was slain would receive the reward of his suffering. And she looked me dead in the eyes and said, well, I praise God he don't call us all into missions. Josiah said he drew up because he was afraid of what I was going to say. Well, I tell you this. Brothers and sisters, we're just getting started. You see, as I shared this morning, the first person that Jesus revealed himself to was Mary of Magdalene at the cross. After resurrection from the cross. The woman, according to Luke, who had been delivered from seven demons. He revealed himself to her. Not only did Jesus cleanse her of her demons, he cleansed her heart. And her testimony lives on. The woman at the well had to tell people who this man was. The blind man, I don't know what he is, but one thing is for certain. I once was blind, but now I see. Brothers and sisters, we're just getting started. Because of the person and work of Christ, because of his victory over sin, death, and hell, because he lives in us, and we're to proclaim his name. Please, People are dying every day. And they're dying lost. They are dying in rejection of Jesus Christ. It's not what they have done that condemns them. It's their heart. There's none of us can measure up. But by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, in committing to Him, in following Him, surrendering to Him, there's no guilt anymore. And in the world that's guilty, they need to hear the power of the cross. Brothers and sisters, we're just getting started. I want to encourage you today to you focus on the work of Jesus Christ. I believe when Jesus said it's finished, He meant it. And there's nothing that we can add to that. We can add to that because He closed it. I want to encourage you today, my friends and family. If you are born again believer in Jesus Christ, I can assure you that God will sustain you. You will get sick. You will struggle. You'll have problems. But He'll never leave you or forsake you. I can tell you this. I've been sicker than some and nowhere near sick as others. But I can promise you this. I've seen Christ walk with me. I have felt His presence, and I have seen His presence in others. I promise you that He will sustain you. I promise you, if you're here today and Satan is pouncing on you about what you have done, let me tell you something. He's defeated. He's defeated because God has forgiven you. You see, that which we could not do on our own, He done on the cross. The wrath of God was poured on Him instead of us. And He took it. And I believe that if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, I tell you to place your faith and trust in Him. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. But I promise what you are guaranteed by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is He who will save you, who will cleanse you, who will sustain you, and who will use you for His glory. I want to encourage you as we leave here today. Some of us may go home alone. Some of us may go have dinner with others. Some of us may go Easter egg hunting or go play in the yard or sit by the lake. That's okay. But I pray that when you leave these doors, that Easter is just not a one and done today for you. That you live and reflect on Christ daily. And I assure you, no matter what you face or what you go through, He will walk with you. Amen? What I want to do is every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to call Justin up here to stand with me, and we're going to pray. And here's what I want to do as the band can come up. I want to spend some time in prayer. I don't know where you stand this day, but I can promise you this. You can know where you stand. If you would like one of us to pray with you or pray for you, we'd love to. If you want to turn around in your seats and you pray, listen, there is no tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you need to make amends for somebody who's wronged you. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness or accept forgiveness from others. Maybe you've been clinging on to too many things that's materialistic. Maybe you have an addiction that you can't control. Maybe that you're struggling with things that you said, Chad, God knows what I'm doing, but I'm struggling. Take it to the cross. Brothers and sisters, we are a people here that we believe without a shadow of a doubt that we love God and we love others. And we love you so much, we will pray for you. We walk beside you. We're here for you. I promise there's forgiveness at the cross. Believe in trying to convince somebody to do something that they're not going to do. But what I do pray is we open up our hearts to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I promise you, He will cleanse you. He will walk with you, and He'll sustain you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for completing the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that our debt that is written out because of your Son, Jesus Christ, has to tell us die across the bill. For those who have placed their faith and trust in you, the work is forgiveness is done. Lord, and it is available. You paid the price on the cross. You became our substitute. And Lord, your word says, whosoever shall call upon your name shall be saved. And Lord, I believe it. Lord, we thank you for that. Because you paid a debt you did not owe. Because we owed a debt we could not pay. And God, as we are here today, Lord, I pray with all my heart that if somebody does not have a relationship with you, that you convict their heart, torment them. Lord, burn in their heart, make them uncomfortable. Open their eyes that they may see. God, for those that are believers that may be struggling, whatever it may be, God, I pray today that you would, your Spirit would clothe them, that they would see your sustenance. But Lord, everyone must learn total dependence. And Lord, we pray that you open our eyes to that. God, you were enough. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we pray today that you would use us, this church, for your glory. That, Lord, we would be a beacon of light for the community. And, Lord, for this nation and this world that is so dark and choked by the grip of sin, that they would see us here at Living Way Community Church as a light that will not be dimmed. But our radiant light would glow, reflecting Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you again. Lord, we pray that you just keep us safe. Give us opportunities to witness and proclaim your name. That again, you would be glorified, for you are worthy. And all God's people said, stand and worship with us, please.